Hey everyone, and welcome back to the Chapters of Growth podcast. So today we're going to be doing a deep dive into Ramit Sethi's world, specifically his rich life philosophy and how it plays out in real life, especially when it comes to couples. We've got a ton of material to go through, from YouTube videos to book excerpts. So
it's a lot, yeah.
Let's just get started. So
I think one of the things that's always struck me about Ramit's work is that he goes beyond just the numbers, right? He really tries to tackle the psychology behind money, like our beliefs and habits and emotional baggage that we carry around spending and saving.
Yeah, absolutely. It's not just about like crunching numbers and creating spreadsheets, but he really wants people to design a rich life, but not in like the cliche millionaire next door sense.
Exactly. Yeah. He pushes you to define what that means for you. What are your values? What are your passions? How can money be a tool to make those things happen?
I love that approach because it's not about like deprivation or pinching pennies. It's about intentionality. Like he talks about having an unlimited spending rule for things that you truly love, whether it's appetizers or charitable donations. Why do you think that's so effective?
It's about aligning your spending with your values. If you're giving yourself permission to spend freely on the things that really matter, then there's no guilt. There's no feeling of deprivation. That can sometimes come with budgeting. It's a psychological shift, and I think it makes a big difference.
Yeah, it's like giving yourself permission to enjoy those things that bring you joy without feeling like you're being irresponsible. But of course, that doesn't mean blowing your entire budget on appetizers, right? Mm. It's about finding that balance.
Absolutely. That's where his conscious spending plan comes in. He really pushes for you to allocate your money into four key categories: fixed cost investments, savings goals, and the one that always catches my eye, guilt-free spending.
Okay, guilt-free spending sounds like a dangerous concept, but also incredibly freeing. Yeah. So it seems like it's all about having a plan so you can actually enjoy your money.
Exactly. And Ramit understands that restriction often leads to rebellion. If you try to be too strict with yourself, you're more likely to overspend in areas you didn't plan for.
So having that category for things that you truly enjoy, like travel or nice food, that kind of helps prevent those other impulsive splurges.
It prevents you from derailing your budget.
Exactly.
Yeah. It's not about denying yourself. It's about making conscious choices. And if you want to learn more about the conscious spending plan, Ramit actually goes into this in detail in his book, which you can find a link to in the description.
Awesome. Definitely check that out if you want to dive deeper into that. Mm. So within that conscious spending plan, we've got those four main categories. Can you break those down for us a little bit?
Yeah, sure. So fixed costs are your non-negotiables: rent, utilities, the bills you have to pay every single month. Then there's investments. This is all about building long-term wealth, growing your money over time.
And savings goals. Whether it's a down payment, a dream vacation, or early retirement, having those specific goals in mind can really motivate you to save.
Absolutely. And Ramit actually has this great idea called the 85% solution. He emphasizes that getting started and having a system in place is more important than aiming for perfection right away. If you can get 85% there, you're doing amazingly well.
Yeah, that's such a reassuring concept because so often people get overwhelmed trying to track every penny and they end up just giving up completely.
Exactly. Progress, not perfection.
Yeah.
And this ties into one of Ramit's other big things, automation. Setting up systems that work for you behind the scenes.
Oh, yeah. He's obsessed with automation. He has that hilarious analogy about being gate agent Sethi. Efficiently getting everyone boarded.
Yeah.
You know, plane off the ground.
Yeah. It's a great analogy. You know, he really does approach finances like that. He wants to set things up to run smoothly without requiring that constant mental energy.
So what are some of the things that we should be automating?
Everything you can. Bill payments, savings contributions, even your investments. You take the guesswork and human error out of the equation. No more late fees because you forgot.
It's like putting your finances on autopilot.
Yeah.
And it frees you up to actually focus on other things, like enjoying your rich life.
Exactly. And if you're struggling with setting up these systems, his book is an incredible resource. It gives you step-by-step guidance on how to automate your finances and really create a system that works for you.
Awesome. So we'll put a link to the book in the description again so you can check that out. Now let's talk about investing. Ramit's a big advocate for starting early and investing for the long term, right?
Absolutely. He constantly reminds people about the power of compound interest, how even small amounts invested consistently over time can grow exponentially, you know?
Yeah.
It's like a snowball effect. Mm-hmm. The earlier you start, the more time your money has to grow, and the more those gains can compound on themselves.
It's amazing how much of a difference even a few years can make when it comes to investing. Speaking of which, I know Ramit's pretty vocal about avoiding those percentage-based financial advisor fees.
Yeah, he's on a mission to expose how much those seemingly small percentages can actually cost you over the long run. You know, he uses that example to show how a 1% fee can eat into your returns over a 30-year period. And it can be shocking to see the actual numbers.
Yeah, it really highlights the importance of understanding fees and making informed decisions about who you trust with your money. Now, I know Ramit also talks a lot about couples and finances, which can be a tricky subject. What are some of the key insights he offers in that area?
He dedicates a whole section in his book to this, and he even has a separate book just on couples and money. He really dives into the challenges that couples face. You know, merging two different financial backgrounds and habits can be tough.
Yeah, it's not always easy to get on the same page, especially when you come from different financial upbringings. Mm. I think he talks about those distinct money personalities that people often have.
Exactly. He identifies types like the chaser, who actively pursues those money conversations, and then the avoider, who, as you might guess, tends to shy away from those discussions.
Oh, I know those types.
Yeah.
It seems like that dynamic can create a lot of tension.
Absolutely. But Ramit doesn't just point out the problems. He offers solutions. He encourages open communication, finding a way to have those conversations productively and respectfully.
I remember him talking about how he and his wife actually got a prenup, which could be a pretty taboo subject. What was his reasoning behind that?
You know, he saw that as an opportunity to force those important financial conversations to happen early on. By addressing those potentially thorny issues head on, they were able to build a foundation of transparency and really a shared understanding of their finances.
It's interesting because he flipped the script on the whole prenup concept. Instead of viewing it as a lack of trust, he saw it as a way to build trust and avoid potential conflicts down the road.
Exactly. It's about being proactive, setting clear expectations from the start. And he emphasizes that this approach applies to all couples, not just those considering a prenup. You know, having open and honest conversations about money is crucial for any relationship to thrive.
It's so true. Money is often a source of conflict in relationships, but it doesn't have to be. By addressing those issues directly and finding common ground, you can actually strengthen your bond as a couple.
And a big part of that is understanding your own invisible money scripts, these subconscious beliefs about money that we all carry around.
I'm really intrigued by this concept. Can you elaborate on what those invisible money scripts are and how they can impact our financial decisions?
They're essentially the unwritten rules about money that we've internalized, often from our childhood or past experiences. Things like money is evil or rich people are greedy.
Yeah, I can see how those beliefs would shape your behavior, even if you're not consciously aware of them.
Exactly. And Ramit encourages us to identify and challenge those negative scripts. For example, if you believe that money is the root of all evil, you might subconsciously sabotage your own success by avoiding earning or managing money effectively.
Wow, like a self-fulfilling prophecy. So how do we start to uncover and rewrite those invisible money scripts?
It takes introspection and a willingness to really examine your beliefs about money. Think back to your childhood. What messages did you receive about money? Were your parents savers or spenders? Did you experience any financial hardship? Those early experiences can have a profound impact on our subconscious beliefs.
It's fascinating how those early experiences can shape our financial behaviors for years to come. Once we've identified those scripts, how do we start to challenge them?
So Ramit suggests reframing those negative beliefs with more empowering ones. For example, instead of money is evil, try shifting to money is a tool that can be used for good.
It's all about changing your perspective, seeing money as a resource that can help you achieve your goals and live a fulfilling life.
And it's about recognizing that your partner might be operating from a completely different set of money scripts.
That's such an important point. It's so crucial to have those open and honest conversations about your beliefs and understand where your partner is coming from.
And Ramit provides strategies for navigating those conversations. He encourages couples to schedule regular money dates, to check in with each other about their finances, their goals, and any concerns they might have.
Oh, it's like a relationship checkup, but for your finances.
Exactly. And it helps to keep you accountable and on track towards those shared financial goals. Remember, it's not about being perfect. It's about making progress together.
That's a great point. And if you're looking for more guidance on how to have those conversations, Ramit's book goes into a lot of detail about couples and finances. We'll put a link in the description so you can check it out.
It's a valuable resource for any couple who wants to improve their financial communication and build a stronger foundation for their relationship.
Now, one thing I've always admired about Ramit is his honesty and transparency. He doesn't shy away from sharing his own personal experiences and struggles.
Absolutely. He talks about his own experiences with debt investing, even negotiating a prenup with his wife. It makes him relatable. And it shows that he's not just preaching from a pedestal. He's been there. He's made mistakes. And he's learned from them.
It's refreshing to see someone in the personal finance space who's willing to be so open and vulnerable.
It makes his advice all the more powerful and trustworthy. He's not claiming to have all the answers. He's simply sharing what's worked for him. And speaking of experience, he also emphasizes the importance of enjoying your money.
Yes. It's not all about saving and investing for the future. He talks about spending lavishly in those areas that align with your rich life vision.
Exactly. Remember the money dials. You know, he encourages people to turn up the volume on spending in those areas that bring them joy, guilt-free.
So if travel is your passion, go all out on those incredible vacations. If you're a foodie, splurge on those Michelin-starred dining experiences. The key is to be intentional and align it with your values.
And he reminds us that money is a tool. It's meant to be used and enjoyed, not just hoarded away.
It's about creating a life you love, a life that feels rich and fulfilling, both financially and emotionally.
And it's about believing in your ability to achieve your financial goals and design a rich life that's uniquely yours.
And you're building that rich life isn't just about the material things. It's about creating a life of abundance in all areas, relationships, experiences, personal growth.
He talks about cultivating a success mindset, believing in yourself, taking action, and embracing challenges as opportunities for growth.
It's about shifting your mindset from scarcity to abundance, not just with money, but with all aspects of your life.
And that's a powerful message.
It really is. And I think that's what resonates with so many people. Ramit's approach is more than just personal finance. It's about personal growth and creating a life that truly aligns with your values and aspirations.
I couldn't agree more.
The one thing we haven't touched on yet is Ramit's concept of building a financial moat. Can you explain what he means by that?
Yeah, it's a great analogy. He talks about building this metaphorical moat around your finances, essentially creating a buffer that protects you from unexpected expenses or financial setbacks.
So it's like having that financial security blanket. So you're not constantly worrying about what might happen if you lose your job or have an unexpected medical bill.
Exactly. It gives you that peace of mind knowing that you can handle those curveballs without derailing your financial progress. And a key component of that moat is, of course, building an emergency fund.
Makes sense. But building that financial moat, that sense of security, that must take a good amount of effort and planning, right? It's not something that happens overnight.
It does require effort, but Ramit breaks it down into manageable steps, even if you're starting from scratch. He offers clear guidance on setting up a budget, automating your savings, even negotiating with creditors if you need to.
I remember him being very specific about the order in which you should tackle your finances. He calls it the ladder of personal finance. What are the key rungs on that ladder?
So first, he emphasizes maximizing your employer's 401k match. It's essentially free money, so don't leave it on the table. Then focus on paying off any high interest debt, like credit cards, that are draining your resources.
He's not a fan of carrying credit card debt, is he?
Definitely not. He sees it as a major obstacle
to
achieving your rich life goals because it keeps you stuck in that cycle of paying interest instead of building wealth.
So once you've tackled that high interest debt, what's the next step on the ladder?
Then he recommends opening a Roth IRA and starting to invest for retirement, even if it's with small amounts. And he doesn't just tell you what to do, he explains why it's important, breaking down complex concepts in a way that's easy to understand.
I think that's one of the things that makes his advice so effective. He cuts through all the financial jargon.
Yeah.
And makes it relatable to everyday people.
He always brings it back to the bigger picture, how these financial decisions contribute to building that rich life you envision. And a big part of that is developing a healthy money mindset.
Yeah, we touched on those invisible money scripts earlier. It's amazing how much our childhood experiences and the messages we received about money can shape our financial behaviors as adults.
It's so true. And Ramit encourages us to challenge those negative scripts, to question those assumptions we've held about money for so long. It's about shifting your perspective from scarcity to abundance and believing in your ability to create a life of financial freedom.
It's about recognizing that you have the power to change your financial situation, no matter where you're starting from.
Exactly.
And Ramit provides those tools and strategies to help you do just that.
He does it in a way that's both practical and empowering. He gives you the steps, but he also encourages you to believe in yourself and your ability to achieve those financial goals.
And he doesn't sugarcoat things either. He tells it like it is, even sharing his own financial missteps along the way.
Absolutely. He's very open about his own experiences, both the successes and the failures. And he emphasizes that it's okay to make mistakes. The key is to learn from them and keep moving forward.
It's that growth mindset that he talks about. You're not going to get everything right on the first try, but as long as you're learning and growing, you're on the right path.
And I think that's what makes Ramit so relatable and inspiring. He's not some financial guru preaching from a high horse. He's just a regular guy who's passionate about helping people take control of their finances and design a life they love.
Well said. If you're ready to start taking control of your finances and building your own rich life, I highly recommend checking out Ramit Sethi's book. We've linked to it in the description.
It's an incredible resource, filled with practical advice, actionable tips, and even a bit of humor to make the journey more enjoyable.
It's definitely a game changer. And that wraps up our deep dive into the world of Ramit Sethi. We hope you found this exploration insightful and inspiring.
Remember, it's not just about the numbers. It's about creating a life of abundance and fulfillment, both financially and emotionally.
Thanks for listening to the Chapters of Growth podcast. Be sure to subscribe to our channel to stay updated on our latest deep dives into the world of personal growth and development. We'll see you in the next episode.